This is Digital Story Podcast number 774, January 19th, 2021. Today's theme is Why Now is the Time for Infrared Photography. I'm Derek Story. After 10 months of enduring the pandemic, most of us know every square inch of our immediate environment. We photographed the same scenes dozens of times or have given up shooting altogether. I have an amazingly effective vaccine for this creative malaise, infrared photography, and I will explain why in today's TDS podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. I have one of three walks that I take daily, and every time I head out the door, I have a camera with me, hoping to capture something new and unique. These walks are important because my jobs as a photographer have all been crushed by the virus, and I haven't traveled for work since March 2020. So each day I hope to see something new to record and possibly share with others. And lately, each day, I've been disappointed. So one of my friends, Harold, is a big fan of infrared photography. And he's shown me a lot of different things that you can do with it to go beyond what I've dabbled with over the years. So I go, all right, this is kind of exciting. So I decided to revisit what's happening in IR, and to tell you the truth, what's going on right now blew my mind. It really did. And it got me excited about my daily walks again. Now, the big leap that I took this time, and I'm going to talk about, pun intended, the full spectrum of IR photography in a few minutes here, because you can start very simply. I've done that and it's very satisfying. And then there are more options and more options and more options. And each time you go to that next set of options, everything gets a bit more exciting. But in the beginning, any of it is exciting, believe me, especially compared to probably what you've been doing or haven't been doing lately. The big leap that I took was getting my hands on an Olympus EM10 Mark III that had been converted to full spectrum by Kalari Vision. Now, Kalari Vision is a company. There are about three companies, you know, three big named companies that are doing these infrared conversions. And Kalari Vision is my favorite of the three. I have a camera by them. I've talked with them. I mean, these are terrific folks and they really know what they're doing. And all you have to do is click on the link in the site and you can go over there and, you know, read all sorts of background information. Really understand what's going on with infrared photography, learn about all the filters, learn about all the cameras, you know, buy converted cameras, get your camera converted. I mean, it just goes on, and I'll go into more of that right now. But when I refer to Kalari Vision, that is the company that is doing the work, you know, for the gear that I'm using, and they provide the filters that I use with that gear. So getting this EM10 Mark III converted to full spectrum camera just opened up this whole new world for me beyond what I had experienced before with IR photography, because by using different filters, you know, at different points in the wavelength, I was able to create completely different effects. For example, now when I take those daily walks over familiar territory, which I'm doing still, right? Because things haven't really changed, to tell you the truth. It's like I'm in a different world each day. On Monday, I can shoot with a 72 filter for stunning IR black and white photography. And then on Tuesday, take the same walk with the IR chrome filter and get something completely different. This delicious world of complementary oranges and blues. So every day is new, thanks to IR photography. And now I'm excited to go on the walk. I'm excited thinking about, okay, how am I going to approach it today? And because you don't know how certain things are going to look until you actually look at them through the camera, it's like this adventure. And you have like this magic set of glasses to unlock the view into this different world. And sometimes I'm very surprised by what I see. Sometimes you can kind of anticipate a little bit what you're going to see. But every time it has been fresh and exciting. Now, let's back up a little bit on, you know, getting started with IR. So you can start small and ease into IR or go big with the converted camera. And then, you know, there's like lots of options in between. What I'm going to do now is give you 5 helpful tips about IR photography to help you kind of shape your approach right now anyway. And then you can plot your path forward after that, but kind of help you figure out where to start right now with this if you are indeed interested in it. Here's the first thing. You can test an existing camera for IR sensitivity. Some cameras just right out of the box are more sensitive to the IR part of the spectrum than other cameras, which is, you know, the IR part's the higher end of the spectrum. I have, like, for instance, one of those. It is a older Fujifilm X20. It's just a regular X20. It's a little rangefinder camera that was super popular when it was out because it was small enough to put in your pocket, but, you know, it packed some really nice kind of professional level features in it. So I've always liked this camera. In fact, I believe it was the first Fujifilm digital camera I owned. So one of the delights with this camera is that it also has pretty decent IR sensitivity. And the way that you can test that is just make sure your camera has a live view so you can see the picture on an LCD on the back of the camera. Just get a regular remote control, TV remote controller, because those use, guess what, IR to send the signal to the TV. Point the controller at the front of the camera, at the lens. I do it in a darkened room because it's just easier to see what's going on the LCD. And then press a button, like a channel changer button or the volume up button, anything that would cause the remote to send the signal out of the remote. If on the LCD of your camera you see a little light when you press the button on the remote control, then your camera can see at least some degree of IR because that's what that beam is. It's an infrared beam. Now, in the case of my X20, that bright spot's pretty bright. Some of my other cameras, it's faint. And then some cameras is going to be not at all if, they've got heavy duty anti-IR filter in front of the sensor. So it really depends on your camera, but you can test it with a regular TV remote controller and, see what you get. And if you get a relatively bright dot, then you don't have to buy a new camera, at least in the beginning, to start playing with this photography. Now, if you have a selection of older cameras, then obviously go with the one that has the brightest dot when you do this test. The brighter the dot, the more sensitive the camera is to infrared. And as I said, I've used my X20 for years. I will probably never, ever get rid of that camera, A, because I really like it, and B, because, it's a non-converted camera, yet I can shoot IR with it. So that's a good place to start if you kind of want to get going right now without, having to invest in a converted camera and to see if you like this or not. Okay, so that's the first thing, the TV remote controller trick to test your camera. Second, the first filter that I recommend starting out with once you have a camera to work with is the Hoya R72 filter. On the upper end of the spectrum in IR, but not at the top by any means, it's that kind of a sweet spot for black and white photography. And the filter is very dense on a non-converted camera, so it's going to, like on the Fujifilm, it's not a problem because I'm not looking on my X20. I'm not looking through the lens. It's a rangefinder camera, so I can still compose and everything just fine. But the exposures are long because the camera isn't converted and it isn't as sensitive to that part of the band, the IR band, as, you know, a converted camera would be. Sometimes I can do handheld exposure. Sometimes I got to set it on something because the exposures get so long. It just depends on, you know, the lighting conditions. However, you can get this filter, depending on how big the diameter is for it, how big of a diameter you need, for usually around $50. And it's pretty much the cheapest way you're going to get into IR photography is with this filter. And I have a link to it in the show notes, so you can just click on that and go over there, and you can see all the different filter sizes for this. So go to that link and check it out. You can just start with that filter in a camera that has some IR sensitivity, and you can start to get some shots. Now, generally speaking, in the beginning, you know, just to make it easy on yourself, I would probably shoot in monochrome mode while I'm using this filter and just sort of, you know, kind of simplify your workflow. There's a lot, when you get into post-production on this, there's a lot you can do. But in the beginning, probably is better to keep it simple. So shoot in monochrome mode with this filter. And again, amazing views of the world will be revealed to you. Okay, so that's the second thing, you know, a good, inexpensive way to get started. Now, the third thing is that if you think this is something that you're really going to like, I would invest in a converted camera. Now, Kalari Vision, they have what they call the Kalari Vision Pocket Camera. And so this is a $249 camera that they've converted already, and they include filters with it. And, you know, so it has a filter ring, it's a pocket camera, it has a filter ring, it's already converted, and you get a starter set of filters with it. All of this for $249. That is a pretty darn good deal. And I have a link that'll take you directly to that in the show notes. Now, that's really a fun way to get started with a converted camera if you want, because, you know, it just slips in your pocket or doesn't take up much room in your camera bag. Yet, you really have a lot of options depending on what filter you put on this camera as to what type of infrared photography you do. Whether it be black and white, you know, what type of color infrared you do. There's a full spectrum of options there. So, you know, that's a really nice way to go. Number four is you can either have a camera converted for you, you know, so you can send in a camera and they have a list of the cameras that they can convert. Or you can buy a camera that's already converted. Just to kind of clarify here, you can buy a camera that's converted to IR, or you can have an existing camera, let's say your backup camera that you're not using very much. You go, you know, this would be a nice camera to convert to IR. You can have it converted to different types of IR. When they talk about the full spectrum cameras, then you basically have everything from UV at the low end to all the way through visible spectrum to all of IR spectrum, not into the heat sensing level, but into the visible part that you would use for photography. That's all available on one camera. So you have, I mean, there's a lot of different options here that are fun. And again, on the Kalari site, I think they do a really good job of explaining that. So if you want to have more of your options open, then you want to go to a full spectrum conversion, which costs a little bit more, or you can, if you like a specific look in IR photography, you can also go for just a regular IR conversion, you know, sort of at that level. You have a lot of options here. So when it's time to get a camera converted or buy a converted camera, you really want to think this part of it through. Now, one of the things that really changed IR photography for me was going from just shooting with the X20 and the, you know, the Hoya R72, where I was able to get this one look and some really terrific pictures with that one look. But as soon as I had a full spectrum camera and was able to get all these different looks from the same camera, then everything just became, you know, more exciting, because every day I took that same walk, or one of the same walks, it would look completely different depending on, you know, what filter I had on the camera. And I look at, you know, I look at a scene that I had photographed the day before one way, and I go, that thing looks completely different the next day. And you can just imagine how exciting that is when we've been kind of stuck in this shelter-in-place mode. Another advantage, and this is the fifth point I want to make, about a full spectrum conversion is that you can get something called a hot mirror filter, and essentially it's an IR cut filter. And you can put that on the full spectrum camera, and basically then you have a regular visible spectrum camera again, just like, you know, the other cameras that you already own. Now, I did some research on this because, you know, at first it seemed like totally exciting. You can have this full spectrum camera conversion, do all this different IR photography, and then all you have to do is put a hot mirror filter on it, and then you can use the same camera for all of your regular photography. And I would say that for the most part, that is true. Some of the pushback that I saw on this as I did research, that some people said, well, when you get into really wide lenses, then you start to see, you know, the hot mirror doesn't work so well on the edges of the frame. So I think there were a couple little gotchas in there. I'm using a hot mirror on two different lenses on my camera, either using the Olympus 14-42 easy zoom, you know, the pancake zoom, which is a fantastic IR lens. I haven't had any problems with it at all. No hot spots, nothing. And when I use the hot mirror filter on that lens, I haven't had any problem at any focal length. So that's essentially from 28 millimeters to 84 millimeters. Okay. And then the other lens that I'm using a lot is my Panasonic 20mm f1.7. I'm using the R72 on it. Works really well on that particular lens. And then I also have a hot mirror filter for that. The photographs I've taken with the hot mirror filter look really good. Oh, by the way, the picture that runs with this podcast is my EM10 Mark III with the Panasonic lens on it, with the B&W IR cut filter, which is essentially a hot mirror filter, on it, with the R72 filter, the Hoya, leaning up against it. So I've got everything in there. I've got the Kolari Vision converted camera with a BW filter and with a Hoya filter on there. What's interesting, when I use the BW hot mirror filter on it, is that when I'm looking through the electronic viewfinder, the colors are a little different. They're a little bit warmer than I would anticipate. But when I take the picture and review the picture looks absolutely normal. So there's just a slight difference between what I see color-wise in viewing and what actually shows up. And what actually shows up is the correct color. This is all rather fascinating, but the bottom line is that I can carry around the Olympus EM10 Mark III with the pancake zoom, with my Panasonic 20mm f1.7, and then just this little sleeve of filters, and I can use it for everyday photography, I can use it for a variety of IR photography, and then I can do all the other stuff that can be done with that camera. That is a super nimble kit. And getting back to the other thing that I've been working a lot on, which is carrying one compact camera with an iPhone, you know, and having a super nimble kit. Imagine carrying the EM10 Mark III with all this capability, you know, all these different IR options, plus regular photography, two pancake lenses, one pancake lens in my pocket and the other on the camera, and then an iPhone 12 Pro Max for everything else. And I still don't have a camera bag, right? Because iPhone's in one pocket, extra lens, and little mini filter pouch in the other pocket, and the EM10 in my hand. And the EM10 is so compact that if I'm wearing a jacket, it just goes in the jacket pocket, nice and easy. This also fits with that other thing I'm talking about, which is don't ditch, you know, the camera, ditch your backpack, right? Leave the camera bag behind and just go with your favorite, most versatile camera, and then your most sophisticated smartphone, and see how far you can go. Well, you can go really far, and with this combination, with a full spectrum IR converted camera and just a few little filters, you can go very, very, very far. And then the iPhone Pro Max will take me the rest of the way. So, you know, this is super exciting stuff at a time when, you know, we're feeling constrained otherwise, but these new tools are, you know, these refined tools really open new doors. I hope I've sufficiently conveyed my excitement about this, not only the different options we have with infrared photography, but then also how you can combine this with your iPhone for a super nimble, super versatile kit. Everything you need is in the show notes, and there's a picture of the EM10 with the filters in the show notes, and then there's more coming up in the next story. The Infrared Photography Workshop. Yeah, you saw it coming, right? So if you want to learn the ins and outs of IR photography from the comfort of your home, you can with this online event that's now available. The link is in the show notes, and it's also at thenimblephotographer.com in the workshops area. And there's a link to it right at the very top of The Nimble Photographer on all pages. So what we're going to do with this is going to be a little different than the other online workshops we've done so far. We just wrapped up the black and white series, two sessions of it. We had done the Eastern Sierra before that. And, you know, each one, because the subject material is different, each one takes on kind of a different approach. So this one is going to lean more heavily on instruction and working with different techniques than straight photo assignments. There will be photo assignments, of course, involved, but you know, we're really going to take you on an exploration of infrared photography, helping you find what's best for you, what's the best approach for you. So we're going to talk about the best IR filter to start with. I'm going to show you demos of how to test different cameras. You know, so you, if you want to use an existing camera to start with, you can, and how to figure that out, you know, with the TV remote. We're going to learn about different types of IR conversions. We're really going to go into detail on all the different options that are available. We're going to learn about all the different IR filters and the different effects that those IR filters produce. And then we're really going to get into learning how to fine-tune your images with software that you already have. You know, once you have this raw material, and depending on the filter, like if you have IR chrome filter, you can use those pictures pretty much out of the camera, which is really one of the things I love about the IR chrome filter. But the other filters, you work with a custom white balance that puts the picture in good position to be adjusted in post, and then you do certain things in post, like a red blue channel swap or something, and then you really take it to a new place. So we're going to talk about all those software techniques as well. And then we're going to give you some nice advanced stuff and, you know, things to work on well into the future. This workshop will just set you on a path to keep you out of trouble for a good 6 months to a year. And I really feel like it's going to permanently add IR photography to your bag of tricks, you know, that you're doing already, regardless if you're an HDR photographer or if you're mainly black and white photographer, whatever you happen to be. I have a feeling that IR photography is going to become a part of that. So this workshop's going to start in mid-March. However, we're going to have an orientation meeting in February to help you get your gear set up so that you're all ready to hit the ground running when we start in mid-March. So it's actually going to kind of start happening in February on this. $145 for the whole thing, and that gives you permanent access to Derek Story Online, our online workshop community, which is growing with each workshop. Four sessions plus an all-day Saturday sharing session. It's going to be killer, and I hope you can join us. This is an interesting story that I found on F-Stoppers. The death of the entry-level DSLR is upon us. Nikon calls time on the D3500 and the D5600. So I'm going to read you what they say. Of course, I have the link to the article in the show notes here. I'm going to read you what they say, and then I have a couple comments on it. Last week, Nikon confirmed that its two most affordable DSLRs, the D5600 and the D3500, are now archived products. Are we witnessing the slow disappearance of the entry-level DSLR? TechRadar reached out to Nikon following reports that the two cameras have been listed as archived. This, according to Nikon rumors, is usually an indication that the two models are about to be discontinued if they haven't been already. Quote, In Japan, the D5600 and D3500 are archived products, Nikon explained. The products will continue to be sold in countries and regions other than Japan. We plan to continue selling these products for the time being. For areas other than Japan, we will consider the optimal timing for discontinuation based on the needs of the market and customers. Nikon continues to occupy a curious position in terms of its DSLR cameras, having just released new versions of the Z6 and Z7 mirrorless cameras, but according to rumors, intends to produce not one, but potentially two new high-end DSLR cameras in the near future. One near certainty will be the successor to the popular D850, and it remains unclear what the second might be. This is kind of fascinating, and I think this is how things are going to shake out in our hardware world. I do think that the entry-level position in the market, entry-level cameras, will be occupied by either smartphones or entry-level mirrorless cameras. Those just make sense both from a consumer point of view and also from a manufacturing point of view. Now, I also believe that DSLRs are going to remain in the market and new DSLRs are going to come into the market. We have a new one coming from Pentax here, any month now, maybe even any week now. And we also have a new one, or probably two new ones, coming from Nikon in the near future. But I think what's going to happen with those is that the DSLRs that come out are going to be the high-end DSLRs. They're going to be the sophisticated ones. They're not going to be entry-level, because doing the entry-level DSLR right now just doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. Just get a mirrorless or, buy a used entry-level DSLR. But for camera manufacturers to waste their time and energy making entry-level DSLRs, no. Move the entry-level stuff over to mirrorless. Mirrorless is perfect for entry-level. It's a nice transition from smartphone photography. It's much more natural to go from smartphone to a mirrorless camera than from a smartphone to a DSLR. Strengthen that pipeline, and then the DSLRs you do produce, make them killer, make them hot, make them hot rods, you know what I mean? Have all the stuff that we love about a DSLR with max performance, and I think that's what we're going to see, and I think that's the direction things are going, and it makes perfect sense to me. All right, I have a little virtual camera club news to take care of here. Let me just mention that we still have this waiting list going for a second session of integrating iPhone into a pro photography workflow online workshop. This is going to be our February workshop. And the first session sold out, and we've got a pretty good list on the second session. We get one or two more seats, and I think the second session's going to be a go. This is where we talk about how do we get the most out of the smartphone that we have, and then what camera do we pick to go with it, so that we can travel super light, be super nimble, but develop this very, very powerful workflow that allows us to cover most of our photography needs essentially without a camera bag. We'll be talking about Pro RAW for folks that have, iPhone 12 Pros, but we're also going to talk about RAW workflow for smartphones for folks that have iPhone 10 or an iPhone 11 and iPhone 12 as well. So we're going to cover all of that, and then we're really going to get into, which camera you should be using, how you should configure it, and this new wrinkle that I talked about today with an IR converted compact camera, such as the, EM10. Wow, suddenly then you're adding even more dimensions to this, but you haven't added anything in terms of a size or weight. So this is going to be a really fun course. We're going to knock it out of the park. You are going to be able to travel or just walk around or do whatever you do. Very capable, but super light. So if you're interested in that, if you haven't signed up for the first session, we have the wait list waiting for you at thenimblephotographer.com. Just go over to the workshops area and get on that wait list. If we get enough folks, we're going to do a second session. I want to give a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. They're the folks that keep this boat afloat and help propel it in a forward-moving direction. Our Inner Circle members get a number of benefits. I was telling someone the other day, If you take advantage of all the benefits, you come out way ahead of the $5 a month that you spend to be an Inner Circle member. The latest being that they get a $15 discount on this $145 workshop for infrared photography. Inner Circle members will get a discount on every workshop in 2021. I create free content for them. There's all sorts of stuff. But the thing that really feels good is that they support this community and they help this community keep evolving. And all you have to do is look at what we've been doing over the last 10 months and you can tell we are evolving, right? We are growing and it's exciting. A big thanks to all of them. Thank you so much, Inner Circle members, for supporting this community. And if you want to become part of this, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. Go over to our site, see what's going on, and hopefully you'll join us. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. One of the things that jumped out at me during presentations on Saturday, we did black and white presentations for, you know, the second session of the black and white, ultimate black and white photography workshop. And just some amazing images in those presentations. I was so impressed with the work those photographers did. And not only me, but other people were going, when we see something that was absolutely out of the park, we go, you've got to print that. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind when you create an image that is just so beautiful. You want it, you know, you want it preserved. You want it on the wall. You want it big. You just don't want it trapped on a computer screen or trapped on a phone screen. You want to set it free. That's what Red River Paper allows you to do. It allows you to set your images free so that people can enjoy them without any device. Anytime they walk into the room where that picture's hanging on the wall, they can enjoy it. And when you get something that you're really proud of, you should print it. You should print it and share it with the world. Red River Paper has a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. You can go over there and you can see what's going on. Get yourself some paper, read some tutorials. Take your good work that deserves to be shown to the world and print it and shine a light on it and let people enjoy it. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast and this community. And you can visit them also on their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you're a little excited about IR photography. I'm working on some more great stuff for next week. Come back and join me then. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.